Good to see everybody out this morning. It's always great and wonderful to be able to come together to study and worship as we are given this opportunity to do so. Truly appreciate the brother and sister in Christ. Again, we welcome out our visitors that are with us. It's just always wonderful to have you. We hope that we're encouraging you as we go throughout our service. As we continue on, sometimes there's things we just do that we really don't question. We get in the habit, it's just the way things are done, the way things have always been done. It's the way mom and dad did it, it's the way grandma and grandpa did it. And sometimes we don't question it, or sometimes maybe we question it some, but haven't ever done some good hard study and research. Sometimes there's a little bit of conflict between brethren on the matter or situation. And today's lesson is, I don't know that there's a huge conflict in the issue. I know there may be some different sides, different mindsets as the topic is brought up, but it's recently been brought up to me by a couple people, and something I know that's been brought up in the past. And again, I think it's something that me, myself, have never really questioned that much. Other than, maybe briefly brought up, and then I didn't think much about it, and research it more, just kind of went along with, again, what has always been a regular standard, I guess, among the way in which I approach things. And so this morning, I would like to bring up maybe an issue that some may have with, and bring out some scriptures and ask, is it right or wrong? And in hopes that we can, again, make sure that we are scripturally living our lives and see what it has to say. So the question that I want to talk about this morning is praying to Christ, yes or no? I know for the most part, a lot of brethren will be quick and maybe easy to jump to say, no, that we want to look and think, it's easiest to think of praying to the Father through the Savior. And that's going to be my first point, looking at why it is we typically, and for the most part, I believe most brethren, more often or only pray to the Father and through Christ. And then in my latter points, I want to look at some scriptures that may point to praying to our Lord and Savior and see if they do. And again, just make sure that we are looking at the scriptures and what it has to say. So again, something that I don't think off the bat, that as me, I push to say, well, let's see if there's scriptures to pray to Jesus. So the first thing, again, it's just why some say no is, for the most part, as we look at what we have in scriptures and the examples we have, it goes along with the mindset of praying to the Father through Christ. And so let us look at a couple of those. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Matthew 6 and verse 9, here is the model prayer, right? This is when they had come and Jesus was praying in verse 7, and when you are praying, he's telling them, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so the first part that we might be able to straight go for is when they are being taught how to pray. Jesus says this is the way in which you pray. Pray like this. Heavenly Father. Father, great you are. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So here we have an example straight from our Lord and Savior and Him instructing the disciples that are with Him here to pray to the Father. And so we see this and we say, well, this is the example. This is what we should be doing. This is how we should be praying to the Father. Again, going over just to the next chapter 7, looking at verse 11, chapter 7 and verse 11, it says, if then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him. And so again, here, given the example mindset of, you know, of children with their father, giving us that mindset, right? You know, I think I do a decent job of giving some stuff to my kids. Ask Josiah to come next week. Wednesday is his birthday, so we'll see if he gets good gifts and he's happy with it. But we know how to do good things for our children. How much more does the Father know to do good for us? Because he is greater. He is wiser. He's smarter. He is kinder. He has more love. And so, how much more? And so, but it ends with that point of those who ask of him. And so again, it's pointing us to go to God in prayer. Go to the Father and seek and ask him for the things that we need and pray to the Father. John chapter 15 and verse 6. John chapter 15 and verse 6. And so a lot of these verses, again, there are a lot of verses that point to us praying to the Father. 15 and verse 6. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather him and cast him into the fire. This is not what I am wanting here. Alright, so let's jump to 16 and verse 23. 16 and verse 23 says, in that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. And so here's another example of, again, going to the Father and praying. Jesus makes it clear here in chapter 16, verse 23. You know, it says, if you ask the Father for anything in my name. So again, the prayers to the Father, we are going through Christ. And, you know, as we sum that up, as we go through Christ, that Jesus is our mediator, right? He is the one that came down and lived this life upon this earth, and he has went through all temptations. He is a high priest that can understand our temptations, who understands what we've been through, what we go through. And so Jesus has become our mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 says, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was still telling you, I'm not in Timothy. I don't mess myself up in one spot. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all the testimony given at the proper time. And so, here are many verses, and I know we could use more examples. We could use Jesus as an example himself as he's in the garden and he's praying. He prays to the Father up above. He's, and of course, Jesus is not going to pray to himself. Okay? And so, but these are a few examples, a few points that we can bring out and easily show who do we pray to. We pray to the Father. Who do we pray through? We pray through Christ. He is our mediator. He is the one that is pleading for us. The Holy Spirit even has a part in helping where we struggle. And so in my mindset, the Holy Spirit there is kind of with our hearts and the words that we can't utter or understand how to speak to a divine being like our Father up above. And so this is the most common set mindset that most brethren have of a general prayer is going to the Father through the Son. And so these are, and it's biblical. It's something we should be doing. It's something we need to be doing as we pray to God. And so just a side note before I move on to the next point, just because we do pray through Christ, I believe we, again, you know, when I'm not praying out loud, don't necessarily, you know, I don't say in his name or in Christ, in Jesus. As long as we do have that mindset and respect that Jesus is our mediator, that we do go through him, not necessarily wrong if one doesn't say with his mouth, in Jesus Christ, amen. But it is certainly a biblical example to go through Christ and make sure we have that mindset as we are praying to the Father up above. What I want to do now is look at some verses and some points on asking whether or not should we pray to Jesus also. And as we go through this next point, I want to try to make sure we understand what I'm trying to get here in looking at some Old Testament examples and mindset of the Hebrew word that went with Yahweh or Jehovah as translated, or most of the time as you read it in our English translation, it'll say the Lord. And so those times in which it says the Lord, and this is from studying what others have wrote, those who are scholars in the Hebrew and Greek, and understanding exactly what it means, what it was using when it used the term Yahweh and Jehovah. It was speaking to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the deity of all three, and not specifically just the Father, not specifically just the Son, not specifically just the Holy Spirit. Though, as we do study through it, I want to bring out a couple verses that are prayers to Yahweh, in which I ask, is this to the Father, or to Christ, or to the Holy Spirit, or to all, you know, to God, the one God? Or is it, you know, and then I want to look at a couple examples in which we can see it speaks the Lord, and it's the same word for Yahweh, Jehovah, and see that it absolutely plugs in with Christ as its prophecies, and to the point of speaking things that we can plug into the New Testament. And so, first of all, look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6. As we look here and looking as he specifically is stating who he is, right? Deuteronomy 5 and verse 6 here, it says, I am the Lord. And again, most of the time that we see it says the Lord. It is in the Old Testament. It is the term for Yahweh here. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol or likeness of what is heaven above, the earth beneath, the waters under the earth. And so, again, as it brings up here, it brings up the Lord, Yahweh. I am the one God. Verse 9, you shall not worship or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity and fathers the children and the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And if need be, I can do another lesson later on. I think I've done one since I've been here, but it's been a while. On the deity of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if we use this verse here and come to the understanding again, that there is only one God. Use Ephesians chapter 4 and understand that there is only one God. But then we also understand that we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that we do serve the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Father. And that we come to understand that that's not going against the command here of serving no other gods. Otherwise, it would be wrong. And so we come to that conclusion and see that it's speaking of Yahweh. And then we look at a couple prayers here in Psalm 86 and verse 1. Psalm 86 and verse 1. Again, this prayer, the what I'm trying to point out in these verses is that it uses a term that means Yahweh, a term that is, from what I have found, meaning all three in the Godhead and the deity. And so as you read here, Psalm 86 and verse 1, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. And so as it goes through this this prayer here, incline your ear, in verse 3, be gracious to me, O Lord. Verse 4, towards the end, make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. Verse 6, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. And again, I'd have to get my Strong's or whatever concordance that you use to look up the Hebrew wording here to make sure that each one of these are that. But I know a lot of them throughout this prayer line up with Yahweh in his prayer. In 1 Samuel 2, when Hannah was praying, of course she was praying for a child. She ends up giving thanks for being able to bear a child. But in her prayer, she uses this terminology. 1 Samuel 2. And starting there at the beginning, it says, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against the enemies, but I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. And again, she uses this phrase time and again as she is giving thanks, as she is praying to our God. And so as we look at the example and we come to the understanding, and I've read it in other articles, and I've read it, and I've spoke to some preachers, I've asked the question, because I was like, I don't know that I've really looked to see if we should or should not pray to Christ. And this was one of the points that I found from both whether in articles or speaking to other preachers, well, we all pray to Yahweh. We all pray to the God, the one and only, and the Lord is included in it. The Lord would be included, and you make the side note, would be also that the Holy Spirit would be included in that. Now, as we move along, I have extra scriptures to back up praying to Christ. I don't know that I have backed up scriptures to praying to the Holy Spirit, but in just this point about Yahweh, and that all pray to Yahweh, all pray to Jehovah, then it would include our Lord and Savior. And so look at a couple examples with me, and I'll look at a couple of these at least. Psalm 102 and verse 1. Psalm 102 and in verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let me cry for help come to you. And if you jump down verse 25, see that this is a prayer to Jehovah. And then verse 25, it says, of the old you found the earth, of the heavens are the works of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. And so then we apply this in Hebrews chapter 1 and see that this is being quoted and speaking in Hebrews. It's specifically speaking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 and starting and in verse 10. It says here, and O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they all will become old like garment. And so as we read this here, verse 12, and like a mantle, you will roll them up, and like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. And so you read the context again, the beginning of it. Starts off speaking about how God spoke in various ways, now speaks through the Son, and as you go through, so it's speaking about Christ, and it's using this psalm in reference as we look to it, and that psalm is a prayer to Yahweh, a prayer to God. And so in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, Joel chapter 2 and in verse 32, as it reads here, and says, and it will come about that whatsoever calls the name of the Lord will be delivered. For Mount Zion and Jerusalem, there will be those who escape. And as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. And so, see this applied in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 13. Romans 10 and in verse 13, and whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so this is again quoting from Joel as it is applied here in Romans to our Lord and Savior. And so we make these connections throughout the Old Testament of prophecies or of speaking of Jehovah that we see the same term being used to being prayed to in the Old Testament. Then it is applied to our Lord and Savior. And so again, the statements that they were just giving to me, well, we all pray to Yahweh. And therefore, that would mean that we are all praying. In essence, if you were to go in prayer and start your prayer that way, dear Jehovah or dear Yahweh, that we would be praying to all three. That we would be praying to the Godhead and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as we see the examples throughout the Old Testament theory. We also have some New Testament examples that I want to look at and ask, who were they speaking to here in the Old Testament? And so again, you can write these down, studying further. If you've got questions on them, I'm willing to take the time to sit down and look at them, make sure that we are correctly applying the scriptures. But as we continue to ask this, who is it talking about? Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, here as they are appointing a new apostle, right? They're choosing someone to take Judas's place as they end up choosing Matthias. And so Acts 1, verse 21, if you will, read with me here. Acts 1, verse 21. It says here, it says, "Therefore it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day he was taken up from us, one of them must become a witness with us his resurrection." So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. So here that they pray, that they're putting a man forward. They say, Lord Jesus, there in verse 21, they say he had to be with us. And so in verse 24, they pray. It says, "And when they prayed, they said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen." And so again, it doesn't specifically say Lord Jesus in verse 24, but it did in verse 21, and kind of draw that connection that it might be that they are praying to Christ. That they are choosing someone who was with Christ from the beginning, was there when he was baptized, was there when he died, when he resurrected, was a witness. And so, Lord, you know, God, you know. Again, it would go both ways, the Father or the Lord. They know whose heart is right and who should be chosen. And we certainly know that, as Jesus pointed out, that the Father is the one that kind of selected these men for him. And so here's maybe a controversial verse that we could say might be applied to Christ, or it might be applied to the Father up above. But it's certainly a verse that we could sit here and discuss whether or not it might be our Lord and Savior. Another would be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and looking at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 8. It says, "Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might be. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with the weakness, with the insults, with distress and persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And so, again, it seems that the answer comes from the Lord. He's suffering in the Lord, the strength from Christ. And a lot of plugs that seem that it reflects to Christ. And again, a question of whether or not, when he says he prayed, he implored the Lord three times, is this directly that he implored to the Father? Or is he implored to Christ and Christ has given him an answer? It's just, again, a verse that we can sit here and I believe it would be easily drawn to say that it was to Jesus. I wouldn't disagree with you if you thought it was the Father. But it's something that I believe we can make that connection and say, this very well could be our Lord that he was imploring to, that he was pleading with, to take this pain away, as it is the strength that he gains from Christ, that it is Christ who he speaks of throughout these remaining verses. And so a couple of verses that may at this point be a little controversial, and I got a last few verses I want to look at here in a second that I believe are more specifically that we can easily see that it is speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And so these are just a few examples to get our mind flowing, get our mind thinking, is it right? Could this be Christ? And looking at it, I believe it could. I believe it can be drawn to that. When I was first asked this question, when one of the members had asked me what my thoughts were, I kind of stepped back and I thought, my first train of thought is, well, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. As we would read in Matthew chapter 28, he is in charge. And so just with that mindset in my head, I was like, I could see why some would pray to Jesus. He has been given all authority. He's in charge at this time point. And so that is another consideration you might think as you think about whether or not we should be praying to Jesus. And so here are one of the scriptures that point to either talking to Christ or thanking Christ or praying to Christ. And the first one is giving thanks to him in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and looking here, and in verse 12, 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into the service. And so here it is a straightforward, I thank Christ Jesus. And again, was this just a thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice? Thank you, Jesus, for your strength. And is that a full prayer? Is that, you know, a separation from a prayer of asking for? I know, you know, when Jason has talked about prayers, he leans towards it being a prayer of asking and whether it could be full of thanksgiving. And so, you know, but here's a situation which Paul is straightforward, giving thanks to Christ. He's specifically thanking the Lord, our Savior. And so, absolutely, we can give thanks to Christ, right? We can absolutely give thanks to him for our strength, for his sacrifice, for what he has done for us. We at least have a verse that shows us that we can definitely give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another example that I would want to look at in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and looking here and in verse 59 and in verse 60, here is Stephen as he is being stoned to death. And of course, he sees the Father and the Lord there. And they are both there as he is being stoned. And so here in verse 59, it says, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord. And the Lord said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. Having said this, he fell asleep. Again, I know that this might be a little bit of a different situation for us today, because we're not going to look up into the sky and see the Lord and the Father there as you're being stoned to death, as you're going through whatever trial or whatever reason you're going to God in prayer. But when he looked up, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And so it seems that as we read this here, he's specifically speaking to Christ. And then even further, he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And so it's another example that we can look at and say, well, it seems clear here that he was speaking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my final point that I want to bring out, final verse at least, as we think about this, is whether or not we should be praying to Jesus, we'll be turning to John chapter 14 and looking at verse 14. John 14 and verse 14. And before we get over there, I want to make sure I make note that if you're using King James or New King James, possibly other translations, it's going to read different than what I'm about to read up here. And then I would like to give some explanation on that. But as it reads here, it says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So if you jump up to verse 13, again, there's plenty of verses that go along with praying to the Father, right? And so verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, though, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so here in verse 14, we looked at chapter 16, where it had a verse that goes straight forth of praying to the Father. And so, as brought out, I'm reading the New American Standard, NASB, up here. The ESV goes along with this. The NIV goes along with this. And so I was like, well, why is it added here, not over here? And so, again, reading what others have pointed out and why we have these different translations, why sometimes they don't line up, why sometimes, like Mark chapter 16, starting halfway or a little less than even halfway through it, that it'll make mention that these verses weren't found in the oldest manuscripts, or when the eunuch had made his confession in Acts chapter 8, some translations have that down at the bottom, and it's not in your regular reading because it's not found in the oldest manuscripts found. And so that's basically what they're saying here, is that once they found these older manuscripts, and they read the Greek, and I'm not going to try to pronounce whatever, how that's said. I don't often throw Greek up there. The same thing as we talked earlier with Yahweh. You can go back and look that up. I'm happy to get a concordance and look at that with you. But it went forth and said that the older, more dated document actually says this right here, the ENTA. But if you ask anything of me in my name, is the way it should be translated, is the way it's translated. Again, what I found in a commentary,
Commentaries are written by men, so I'm not going to stand up here and say that that's correct. But from what I have searched, what I have studied, what I have found myself in trying to look this up, this is how, and that's why the persons that I had studied and read believe that this would be the proper way in which to have it, where it says, if you ask me anything in my name, or of me anything in my name, and therefore this verse in alone of itself would declare that we can and should be praying to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also. And again, it'd be willing to study and look at this. At the least, I hope that I've kind of maybe answered some questions or made us at least be willing to think and study and search more. And the point of should we or should we not pray to Jesus Christ? And again, before I did the study, it was something that I kind of probably took for granted and say, yeah, we just pray to the Father through the Son. But as we looked at these other verses and we put it in context, now I believe I am more okay. I believe I am going to pray to Christ. I do want to take a sidestep over here real quick before I conclude the lesson, though, is that consider your brethren. That if there are brethren here that do struggle with this still, that we may not maybe here publicly pray to Christ, check with your brethren and see if they where we stand, where they stand, if it would bother them for you to do that. Because I believe I've heard that in the past, but again, I don't know how much studying has been done on it, because myself has finally put the time into looking in whether or not we should. And so maybe it's something you'll start doing on the side, at home, in your own home, on your own time, as we pray, that you might pray to Christ also as you pray to the Father. I hope that as we look to the Scriptures, we can see that there are some examples, there are some conclusions as we look at Yahweh and praying to the Godhead, that we are praying to the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, also as we pray to the Father. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, if you're here and you've yet to be baptized, this opportunity is always extended anytime we gather together, that if we can assist you, that you'll let it be known as we stand and sing.